This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Good morning, I'm Aaron Mee, and you're listening to the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. Today, joining me here on the Community Matters program, it's Dr. Dennis Johnson from the Kinzu Wrestling Club. And first of all, Doctor, thank you for taking the time to join me today. I'm really glad that we could be able to talk because, first of all, I got to say, as we right now, we're in the month of April as of recording this, and as we look forward, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is there are so many things that are happening at the Kinzu Wrestling Club. You guys do a ton of different activities, and right now, I understand things are possibly in a little bit of a lull as right now we're kind of just getting ready for the spring and summer activities that are going to be taking place. So would you mind just giving us a brief walkthrough of some of the things that you expect to be coming up this summer?
Sure. First of all, I'll just say what's going on right now. We're still having workouts down there on Monday and Thursday night, and it's for all age groups. Coming up on the summer, we've got a lot of renovations going on right now, so the summer program is going to be a little bit scattered, but we still plan to do as we did last year. We'll have a summer camp for the U8 kids to come in and learn how to move, roll, do that sort of thing. And then we are combining again with the YMCA for a U10 wrestling camp. So, you know, those are some of the initial things. Like last summer, we plan on bringing in some college teams. Last year, we had Penn State come in and do a day of activity. Kids got to see Carter Strachey, who just won his fourth national title. So we try to bring in people like that so the kids, the local youth, can just rub elbows with them and sort of set goals for the future.
That's really amazing. And actually, that's one of the things that I really wanted to be able to highlight with you. So as we are getting closer and we're approaching the date of Warren Gibbs, I understand your organization is one of the organizations that people can make donations to on that day. And what I'd like to talk about is the money that ends up going to your organization, what some of the things that you guys end up doing with it is. And really, what I'd like to highlight is, like you just mentioned, you bring in some really expert wrestlers and other coaches and things like that that have a lot of background and expertise in the sport to be able to teach these youth, right?
Yeah, and what we pride ourselves in is that in today's society, with youth development being, the travel programs that cost a lot of money, we pride ourselves in the fact that we don't charge kids to come for our events. All they have to do is be registered with the wrestling club. And any of these things that we do are free of charge to the child or their caregivers. And we really pride ourselves in that.
It really is a pretty amazing opportunity that is here. And so what I wanted to talk about then is this Kinzu Wrestling Club. Can we talk about how it has grown from when you first started it and the idea first came about to now where it's at? So let's talk about what the original goal was for it.
Well, the original goal was to become a youth development center, highlighting personal and social responsibility tenets of like helping others, giving best efforts, those types of things. And that remains our goal. We want to help kids become better citizens, so to speak. And we do that through the sport of wrestling in many cases.
And so as you look forward and you do that, and a lot of these people that you've been able to bring in have been great mentors as well for these students, one of the things that I also wanted to highlight is that you have been able to be very welcoming as far as students from whichever school they are in around this area are able to attend this, right?
Oh, yes. Anybody in the surrounding area can be a member of our wrestling club. And we go from birth on up through college. So those, you know, it's open to anybody, boys and girls. And I should emphasize here that we are making a push now to involve girls in the programming there. As you know, this past year there were about a dozen girls in Warren County that competed scholastically, and we're trying to grow that aspect of the wrestling world.
See, and that is actually something that I wanted to take some time and highlight, because I remember last year you actually approached me to talk about promoting something that I think was really amazing, and I'm glad that you guys are doing that. And what I'm talking about is different programs and different classes that you had available directed specifically toward women that wanted to get into wrestling and being able to support them and some of the different trials and tribulations that they would have to go through with that. And I really think that giving an informational course like that and bringing in experts on something like that is really an amazing opportunity that a lot of people don't have that opportunity to experience, and we are really lucky in Warren County to have that.
Yeah, and you know, last year we did a parent seminar on the female athlete triad, you know, an educational seminar to safeguard our female wrestlers. And we did a program to transition from high school to adulthood, you know, it was a three, and that was in combination with the regional college, the library, and the YMCA. So yes, we're trying to develop the whole person.
That is a really amazing thing to see. Now, one thing that I also wanted to talk about is the dollars that end up getting raised through Warren Gives that go to benefit the Kinzu Wrestling Club. They manifest themselves in more than just the people that are able to attend the seminars and things like that. Like you mentioned, there's renovations, and the club itself is a large space which ends up needing upkeep too, right?
Yeah, we're into right now about $230,000 worth of renovations that we have completed so far. So, you know, there's always money for that. We're looking to add a coach director of this at some point in time, but right now it's the renovations. We're getting ready to apply for a grant through the Department of Community and Economic Development. It's COVID money left over to enhance broadband. And we have seminar rooms at the center with computers. And so we're really trying to close that digital divide. You know, there's about 60% of our students in Warren County are classified economically disadvantaged, so that's why we provide everything at no cost.
And that is actually another thing that I think is really important to be able to highlight with this, because it's not only just a focus on the wrestling when you're at the Kinzu Wrestling Club. That's one of the other things that I really enjoy, is you guys value highly the scholastic aspect of it and making sure that the students are able to have access to everything that they need to be able to do their work, whether it's, you know, like you said, limited internet availability, which we actually here in Warren County, it amazes me how much it affects people, because it really, unless you actually live here and experience it, it really is quite something. It's quite a challenge to deal with.
It is a challenge, and we see that in the Keystone tests. These students that are economically challenged, they have gone from, the percentage has gone from scoring below basic to 7% before the pandemic to more than double of like 18% now. So there was a big digital divide there, and that was the reason some of our students are really struggling, and that's why we're putting an emphasis on internet availability at the club and these life skill seminars.
See, and that is something that we are really lucky to have. So one thing that I also wanted to make sure that we talk about is the club itself being a physical location that people can go to. And that's another thing that I think is really great, is the idea behind the location of the club is to make it centrally located and more accessible for people, whether you're, you know, in the south of the county, whether you're maybe in the south of Chautauqua County and you're going to be traveling down to see. I mean, there really is, it's really a good central location.
It's a great location because we're right off the bypass, you know, and it's X number of miles, very short, to Youngsville, Sheffield, Kane, Corey, and coming from the north or the south. So we pride ourselves in being a very centrally located operation.
Absolutely. So one thing that I wanted to ask then is, if people want to stay up to date with some of the different programs that you have available, what is the best way that they can learn some of the different things that are going on?
Yeah, just get online, kinzuwrestlingclub.com, and we keep weekly schedules up there, camps that are coming, things of that nature. So just anything that's happening, kinzuwrestlingclub.com, and they can be up to date.
Awesome. Well, Doctor, thank you for taking the time today to be able to highlight this stuff. This is Dr. Dennis Johnson with the Kinzu Wrestling Club, and I am really, really glad that we could be able to highlight these different things that you guys are doing as we do get closer to War and Gives. So I want to give everyone a reminder, War and Gives is coming up this year. I believe it's May 15th, but I need to double check. But with that, Kinzu Wrestling Club is a really, really great organization, and I encourage you to keep them in mind. So thank you for taking the time today to join me.
We appreciate everything that you do.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
Good morning. I'm Aaron Mee, and you're listening to the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. The Community Matters program is brought to you by the Warren YMCA. Joining me today here on the Community Matters program, I've got Thad Turner from the Warren YMCA. And today, I'd like to discuss the Warren Tango, because with the Warren County Tango for the kids just getting wrapped up recently, now is a really great opportunity for us to talk about where that event got its inspiration from, got its start, and I'm really excited to learn about the tango. So Thad, thank you for taking the time today to be able to talk to me. I'm really excited about that. And first of all, how did you get your start with all of this and with the Warren Y?
Well, I've been here in the Warren Y for about 18 years, and the whole tango started. It's the Northwest Tango, because Northwest sponsors it, so we want to make sure we say that. But and they do a great job for us, helping us get it out there. And they're great people. The tango started back in 1999 in Brookville, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay, a little south of here.
Yeah. It was originally, I named it the two-day tango. The tango is named after, it was a call sign. I was in the military, and tango was a call sign, so I called it the two-day tango, and it was a little over twice the distance of what the current tango is. So yeah, it was really long, and it literally took about 2 days to do. So it was kind of a different event. Then when I came up here, I was approached by Chris Seymour, who had participated in the old tango in Brookville, and said, why don't you do the same thing up here? And it's actually a much nicer and easier place to do it because of the National Forest. So I cut it in half to make it more doable, and brought it here, and we've had a lot of ups and downs and very successful. This is our 18th year. So we've had some ups and downs, and we've had as many as, at one point we only had almost 600 racers.
Wow.
We're down considerably from that. We're trying to bring it back up. And it's a fun day because along with the racers, support teams come, families come, and it's just a really great event. We have bands playing and music and some food and people, you know, set up tents, and it's just a great event all around.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because really that is one of the things that I wanted to be able to highlight with this, because this tango event that takes place is a huge happening. I mean, mm-hmm. Really, it's a massive undertaking, and it's a lot that's going on. And it's pretty amazing to see just, I mean, if you travel Route 59, I believe is what it is, you can travel, we wouldn't travel it that day, but if you were to, you know, go along with, you will see. I mean, it is just amazing to see the way it ends up working with that. And that is something that I'd like to kind of learn a little bit about. So now, how does this tango work? Is it all running? Is it different things? I mean,
we break it up into different divisions. So you can enter as a company, and that's a pretty cool division, because then they can compete against each other, different companies. Whirly always has a bunch. Northwest has a bunch. All the different companies around have had different teams. You can enter it as a high school team and represent your high school. It's nice. A lot of families use it as like a family reunion. Hey, do you think you can swim this far? Do you think you can run this far? And so it turns into a really nice family event. And sometimes it's just kind of a reunion for old groups of people to get together. Sometimes we throw together teams of people that want to do a certain leg, but they don't have the other legs, and then they end up, some of those have created some great friendships over the years, you know, the people that just jumped on a team here and there. But we start out at the Warren County Y, and we run a half marathon, and it's one of only two times a year that they open the dam to run across. The other one is our half marathon that we run the opposite direction. But it goes out across the dam, up Hemlock, and up 59, and ends at Kinzu Beach.
Wow.
So, and there then they jump on a bike. And we've changed the bike a little bit. Now we're incorporating some of Jake's Rocks trails. So it's about a 14, give or take, mile ride there.
Wow.
Then they come back down, jump in the water, and swim about 2.5 miles. So it's up and back along the reservoir. Wow. It's pretty it's very safe because we have a safety canoe with every swimmer. We have boats patrolling it. Plus, they can swim along the shoreline, so they can always, if something would happen, they could get out. So then they run up, and the next leg, which is kind of the win or lose leg for a lot of teams, is the orienteering. So they run up onto that Rimrock Plateau, like that Morrison Run that you were mentioning earlier when we were talking. Mm-hmm. And they find anywhere from 5 to 6 points in the woods.
Wow.
And it's just a person at a point, and they find them and check in. And so there's a lot of strategy on how you run it and what you do. And there's a lot of kind of skill beyond just running. You know?
That is so cool. There's so many more aspects to it than really even I understood from the outside when you think about all of those other things that all go together to make that happen.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, a lot of volunteers. A lot of the YMCA team, Bill Dawes is one of the main guys that really makes it happen. But Chris Dolan, big help there. There's just a ton of people that make it happen. But then after they get down from the orienteering, after they find the points and probably get lost for a little while, they come back down, and then there's a short 4-mile run that goes from Kinzu Beach down to below the dam, Big Bend boat launch right below the dam.
Wow.
And then they canoe back down to Point Park, which is right there by the carpool, and swim and the YMCA and everything, and it ends there.
See, so. Now, that is so interesting because you manage to incorporate so many different aspects into this where it's so far from a traditional marathon or, mm-hmm. you know, a triathlon or anything mm-hmm. like that, because really, when you add those other aspects of, like, orienteering into it, mm-hmm. that is something that I find to be so fascinating because it's a skill that is hardly ever used, but yet the one thing that I remember, and personally, I know this is just me, but it's one of those things where it's like when you get to use that skill and it works, it's just so satisfying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, that is something that I really enjoy. And it's amazing that you have it split up like that. And so I guess what I was kind of wondering is, like you mentioned, there are different legs of it. When you mention these teams, is it normally where one person will do the entire thing, or do they
yeah.
really?
Yeah, so we have a solo division, which is what it is. It's one person starting from beginning to end, and they do everything.
Wow.
So they have to decide on their transitions and how long to rest and what to do. And so they'll come into Kinzu Beach. Most of the transitions are at Kinzu Beach. So they come into Kinzu Beach and they'll have a team there, and you know, and they'll maybe just change shoes and run right back out, or they may have to recover a little bit and then get going. The solo division is really fun to watch because it's pretty inspiring, you know, and it's probably, you know, along the lines of being able to complete an Ironman or anything like that.
Oh yeah.
So we've had a lot of people. One of the guys that has done it a bunch of times is he was the president of Whirly, Lincoln Sikolsky. He's been a real great promoter of the tango, but he's soloed it several times.
Wow.
And then you can do it, and this is a whole another aspect, you can do the entire race as two people doing it together. And then that's kind of a playing off of each other's strengths and weaknesses and deciding when to go hard and when to, you know, go as a team. But they have to stay together the entire time. So that's a whole nother dynamic. And then we have the relays. And the relays are up to 6 people. So that's where you can have fun with it and, you know, get somebody. Like, you know, a lot of the orienteering, you may be a... We've had a lot of people that were super fast runners, but they take forever in orienteering because they can't find the points. So someone that comes up there that's a really good, you know, be able to navigate in the woods, they may come up there and just kind of fast hike it and end up having a great time just because they found the points quickly.
That is actually so cool. It's really interesting as you talk about this. I'm kind of like mentally putting together my team in my head, if that
makes
sense.
I was thinking that. I was going to say, you better get up there in the woods and do some hiking.
I'm going to need to.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the things that I think is pretty interesting about this. You mentioned that when you started this, this was originally something that took 2 days when it was down in Brookville, right?
Yeah.
So now, with that being like a multi-day event there, how is it as far as like with supplies and water and things like that? People need to be able to, they bring that themselves, right?
Oh, yeah. Back in the day when it was... when it was in Brookville, it was 2 days. You know, it was a pretty small group of pretty elite athletes. The first year I ran it, you could only compete it as 2 people doing the whole thing together.
Oh, that's
so cool. You didn't have a choice. There was no relay. So we actually got, we've had some really great teams. There's one of the first guys that was the original just superstar of it is a local guy named Toby Angove. And he was so fast the first years that we ran it, when I introduced the relay division, he still won, even against the teams that were thrown in a fresh guy in
wow,
every leg.
That's insane. Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he's still around. He hasn't run the Tango for a while. I'm hoping he comes back. But, yeah, we've had some just fabulous athletes. We've had just the great. Every year I give an award called the Tango Award. And it's just to somebody that maybe did interesting things. We had a guy that flew in from Texas, literally had chemotherapy on, I think it was Thursday, flew in on Friday and soloed the Tango.
Wow.
Yeah, his Saturday. We had an amputee swim it and do well in it. We've had all kinds of stories, and everybody has, you know, a lot of people. What I like about the relay division is there are legs in there. There's a 4-mile run. You know, there's the canoe. There's the orienteering that I mentioned. So you don't necessarily have to be somebody that can run a half marathon.
Yeah.
I let people wear fins on the swim because that kind of evens the field there. So you can get in, and you may not be a great competitive swimmer, but you can get in and kick for an hour and you'll get there and you'll get back. Yeah. And so I try to make it so that it's really interesting for everybody. And you know, it, but it's been, I think one of the greatest things about the day's super fun and super inspirational and fun to watch. But one of the things that's really been inspirational kind of on the front end of it is watching people say, hey, I haven't been exercising, I haven't been working out, kind of let myself go. I used to be an athlete or always wanted to be, you know, able to run something. And they go, this is my inspiration, yeah. You know. And that we're talking now is important because for those kind of people, they want to start thinking about that now. Because
yeah,
it might take you a few months or a couple months to get to where you want to be. And so, but that's been the fun part is watching people, you know, use the tango as a, totally as an inspiration, and
that's a really cool motivating factor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, that is something that I think is pretty fascinating. And one of the things that I wanted to go through and talk about with this is when you mention, you know, in previous years and things like that, that there have been bands playing and, you know, just all of the different activities associated with that. What I'm wondering is if you could kind of go through for us, you know, day of the Tango, How does that day look? How does it start? And, how does it go?
Yeah, usually it's a pretty good crowd starting out at the Y. And we start out at 7 a.m. We always just, the start goes at 7 a.m. no matter what. That's when we start. And it's pretty low key at 7 a.m. People are still just kind of getting ready to go. And that starts out the half marathon. So then by then, everybody has time to drive out to Kinzu Beach, all the support people and the people in the next leg coming up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So then they're all out there. And it's just really awesome when you're at the beach. And for folks that have been to Kinzu Beach, you know how you look up and you see that big bridge coming up 59. Mm-hmm. So you start seeing your guys come, you know, and your team starts coming. And you watch them cross and your biker starts getting fired up and knowing that that's their next runner coming. Oh, and so they come running in. Awesome. You know, everybody cheers. It's great. Biker takes off. As the day progresses, then, you know, the gaps between teams start, you know, there's people finishing one leg that while another person's finishing another leg, because there can be a big gap in between it. And one of the things about the Tango, there are, I would say, the majority of teams, and I don't know whether, I think this is a good thing, I really do, but I would say the majority of the teams are in it to complete it and to do it. You know, there's, yeah. People get worried like, oh, if I got on a team and, you know, my run mile time is, you know, 10, 12 minutes or whatever, and I'll, you know, that's not really the spirit of the Tango. The spirit of the Tango is come out and do it and run it, you know, and finish that leg or finish that race. And especially like with the solo people, I won't say they don't want to win. There aren't people out there that want to win, but so many of them are in it to like, I just want to say that I could do this.
And you bring a really good point to that. One thing that I wanted to kind of mention is it seems like the idea and really the spirit of it is whether you're doing one leg of it or the whole thing, you're there to complete it. And if you complete it, then you can feel really accomplished with that. Whether it took you, you know, 2 hours or 20 minutes, you can do it, then you've completed it. And that's really the thing that I like about it is that the way you've broken it up, every single thing like that is something that people can really feel accomplished when doing, too. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're giving them measly tasks. They're all really physically or mentally or both. They're really demanding challenges.
Yeah. The orienteering part, I think, to me, is really my favorite leg because it can be real physical, but there's a whole lot more strategy involved. And you know, I don't let people use GPSs, so they're not out there with a GPS just you know, with their phone telling them where to go next. It's a physical paper map and a compass. So that's what they have.
See, I like that. I really, really like that. That's actually, it's funny that you talk about that and that we're talking about that now, because as I'm getting ready to go on a trip in May to San Francisco, one of the things that I had brought up with my girlfriend was that when I get there, I'm going to be putting my phone in my bag, I'm going to be getting a paper map out, and I'm going to be doing it that way. Because really, like we had talked about, it is a good way to, you know, work those skills in your brain that you don't always get to do every day. Right. And that's something that really is a great opportunity to be able to try and express. And so now what I wanted to learn more about with this is if people want to get signed up for this, really, what I'm kind of curious about is there a window that they have for that?
Well, they can sign up pretty close to the race, so we prefer they sign up a little earlier. I should know these, but we have an early bird, you know, reduction on the entry fee. But we really want people to sign up early as possible. It gives us a lot better indicator of even just simple things as how many t-shirts to get and how many of that kind of stuff to do and how many people to be ready for. But you can kind of make your decision later on if you want to and throw together a team. We also have a neat thing called Team Finder. So if somebody if they're missing people, very often it's sometimes hard to find a swimmer. So if they have a swimmer missing, I already know probably 5 or 6 people that want to swim it, but they're not on a team. So we already have, like, you know, these people that are ready to roll. And it's a really, like I said before, it's a great way to, it's a great group of people. Like, it's not, I mean, there's competition there, but it's not like a lot of sporting events where you feel like, you know, there's people that are, you know, like, no one's breaking, there's no fights breaking out between the people about who's got, like, everybody's helping everybody. Yeah. Everybody's cheering for everybody. It's not, you know, it's a real,
it's like a good sporting competition.
Yeah, it's actually really is. It's kind of like pure sport, you know, that people are really cheering for each other, and, you know, and we just have and people are competing, but, you know, it's just a fun time. And then the nice thing about it, if you do it as a team, and you want to be super competitive, we have people that win, let's say, win the swim leg, but their team is, you know, in 10th place or something, you know, that swimmer, if they wanted to still be super competitive and really push themselves and win, they'll still win the award as the fastest swim leg. So that makes it fun for them. But yeah, you can sign up. You can sign up online. You can come into the YMCA, 212 Lexington and Warren. You can also, like, feel free to call the Y and get me or Chris Dolan, and we can give you some tips. Jenna Fox does a lot with the planning of it, and so the bike end, and we have a lot of people that are pretty much, after 18 years of doing this, we have a pretty high level team of people that are putting it together.
And it's pretty well ironed out then.
Oh yeah, it's just huge. It takes a lot of people. I think we have, I'm not sure, I think we have like 60 volunteers it takes to pull it off.
See, and that's actually one of the other things that I did want to make sure that we talk about with this whole thing being such a huge event, and like you mentioned, this is literally one of the two occasions that happen in a year where you can actually run across the Kinzu Dam.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that have to be done be able to make that okay. I mean, there's a lot of work that has to be done behind the scenes to make that all right. There's a lot of work that needs to be done when you're talking about closing down Route 59, whether you're going over to Kinzu Beach or back. And I mean, really, there is a lot that goes on with all of this planning. So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about as far as that goes is, with the food and things like that, is that something where when people are getting ready for this, you advise them to, you know, pack light, or do they?
I think we just had a discussion this morning in a meeting that I had about possibly having a food truck out there. And we have, through the years, had food trucks and food available. You know, Docksiders is right across the road, too. So if you run over there, you can run over there and get stuff.
That's a good point.
Yeah, right now, a lot of the families that set up pop-up tents and stuff will have, you know, a big layout of all kinds. It's kind of fun to just cruise around and go to those tents and eat from them. But
maybe bring a dish to pass, ask if you could join the family.
Yeah.
I mean, I would at that point.
You could do that. That'd be good. I really do like one of the things you mentioned is the Forestry Service, Fish and Game, or Fish and Boat, really a lot of these services and people that have really helped us out. You know, the local police, we have an EMT that's on time. We have the local sheriff's department that kind of keeps the traffic slowed down and helps us in that. So we get a ton of help. The Allegheny National Forest people have been outstanding, like from the very first time we talked about doing it.
See, now that is something that I always found fascinating, especially when you look at the amount of traffic that it brings to that road. It's pretty amazing to see. Now, with that being said, in relation to right now and date, it's going to be coming up later in August, right?
Yep. I'm always trying to figure out, I always try to remember the date here because it's August 3rd this year.
Okay, all right. So
it's always the first Saturday in August. If you remember that, it's easy to remember. So it's August 3rd. And, yeah, if you can get in there. And if you want any training tips, we, you know, a lot of people like to go up and ride the bike route or paddle the canoe route, get to know that. You know, there are people that get in and swim leg. The orienteering, I'll teach a couple classes. So leading up to it, I'll have classes up there, and I'll set up practice points all through the same area. So it's very similar. That's extremely helpful, just to see the lay of the land and kind of give an idea where you are.
That would be a lot of fun, actually. That would be something that I would really enjoy taking part in as well, just to be able to have some orienteering experience and doing that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm glad that we were able to talk about the Team Finder as well, because I personally find myself, I really love swimming. Mm-hmm. So that might be something where I end up, you know, trying to find a team that's looking for a place there. So really, there's a lot of great opportunities that exist with this. And so what I'd like to make sure that we do is encourage everyone to go check it out and really go look up Warren Tango or Warren County Tango, and that's really the best way to get all this information, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it will be a good event, and you'll see some of the stuff at Northwest Bank locations. They're going to really help us out marketing it this year. So that's one way, but yeah, if you go on, you can go on the YMCA site too. There's a link to it there. But you can go on either way and get to see it. Or, you know, feel free to call the YMCA and the Warren County YMCA, and we'll give you, you know, all the information you need. And as people kind of anxiety about it starts increasing, I'll get more and more phone calls, and people will want more and more information because they'll start worrying about it.
Well, they got to get the family all ready for it. I mean, seriously, this is something that I think is a really amazing event, and it's been so cool to see over the past few years. And it's been interesting because I've been someone that has been able to see it from the outside for the past few years and just see how many people it brings in. And it is just so cool to see such a really amazing, wholesome family event that goes on year after year after year and has created other events like the Kids Tango and things like that. I mean, really, it's just such an amazing opportunity. It's coming up in August, and this is the real deal as far as these type of events go. I mean, if you're looking for one of these things where you can test your mettle, this is a great opportunity. So, Thad, thank you for taking the time today to be able to talk to me and highlight this.
Thank you.
Again, everyone, go to warrenymca.org to get all the information. Mm-hmm. And, I really am glad that we could highlight this. So,
Roger that. Thank you, man.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click Contact.